Good morning. How's everyone doing? Great worship time. Gee, I enjoyed that. That was so beautiful. Where it landed, of that just place of just saying how much we love His presence. And as we get into the Word this morning, may His presence intensify upon you. And may the presence of His Spirit just come and rest upon every heart and draw us deeper off the back of the worship into an even deeper sense of encounter with God. Now, we've been doing a series on vision in our church, and we've been just exploring the theme of the kingdom afresh. I'm very, very passionate about the message of the kingdom. It was Jesus' central message. And so we thought, what a great way to start the year by starting just to preach fresh vision around the kingdom of God. Now, you remember when Jesus had a conversation with Nicodemus. By the way, who's seen The Chosen? Has anybody seen The Chosen? I love that episode where he's on the rooftop with Nicodemus. Woo-hoo! Oh boy, man, I got wrecked by that. And Jesus is talking to Nicodemus about the kingdom. And he says, you know, you can't see the kingdom unless you're born again. You need to be born again. And he had to explain what that meant, born of the Spirit, a new birth. And in the message, it says, unless a person is born from above, it's not possible to see what I'm pointing to God's kingdom. The other day I was driving out of Mullumbimby, exactly a week ago, there'd been a big heavy rain shower that went through, which is not uncommon in our region. Apparently it's raining up there today. North Coast gets so much rain, it's ridiculous. So there was this big downpour of rain. And as I walked out of the place where we had dinner, everyone was looking up. And the sky was this beautiful, deep, burnt orange colour, like a fiery red sunset in the mist almost. And everyone was looking and staring. Everyone was looking and staring. I was like, what are they looking at? So I had to get out of the car. Actually, I did. I opened the door of the car and looked behind me. I was like, ooh, that's a very nice colour. That is a very beautiful, deep sort of orange. And then as I drove out of the town, there are people pointing, getting out of their cars, getting their cameras. Everyone's looking at that sunset. And there was even one guy laid back on the bonnet of his car, pulled over at the side of the road. Did you guys see that as you were driving out? Because you drove out around, you saw it? And all these people are taking photos. It's like they're all pointing at something. And it's like that with the kingdom. You know, all of us in this room are all like, oh, there's another world. And some people are like, well, what are you pointing at? I can't see a thing. You know, I can't see what you're talking about. And Jesus said, you've got to be born again to see this kingdom. And so I want to talk a little bit about the kingdom. I want to talk a bit about a concept called kingdom linguistics. And linguistics is the study or the science of language. And language is extremely important. We're all engaging in language right now. And language communicates concepts, language creates culture, language is powerful. Now, Jesus is the language of the Father. When Jesus came, the Voice Bible says, in the beginning, the voice was speaking. That's the Word, the living Word, the voice was speaking. And that voice, we're told in John 1:18, came straight from the Father's heart. So this is the voice of the Father on the earth. And Hebrews 1 says that when God sent Jesus, He'd spoken through prophets, but now He was speaking in the language of a son. And so it's so beautiful, this language of a son. And I've been sort of delving into kingdom linguistics a little bit and just thinking about the language that Jesus used. Because you know, He preached the kingdom, He taught on the kingdom, He demonstrated the kingdom. And sometimes He preached, sometimes He demonstrated, but all of it was about unveiling the kingdom. And so He was very deeply engaged in kingdom linguistics. There was certain language that He used. Now, I just want to back up right to some very foundational truths, and that is that the kingdom belongs to the Father. When Jesus taught us to pray, He said, pray like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom, Father, your kingdom, kingdom of the Father, may it come. May your will, Father, be done on earth as it is in heaven. Then at the end of the prayer, for yours, Father, is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the power. It's all about yours, Father, Yours is the kingdom. See, the kingdom belongs to the Father. And so Jesus talked a lot about this kingdom. He said, do not fear, little flock. It is your Father's infinite pleasure. It's good pleasure, but I would paraphrase that as infinite pleasure to give you the kingdom, to give you this invisible realm that we are pointing to, that God wants us to see. So we want eyes to see and we want ears to hear so we can see what God can see. We can see what Jesus is pointing to. And Lord, I just pray right now that you would touch our ears and touch our eyes and awaken our spiritual senses at a new level to see and hear the things that you want us to see. And I pray that through this message this morning, Lord, that you would just be going around giving us eyes to see. You'd be going around anointing our eyes with the supernatural eye salve of your Spirit so that we can see. And you'd break blindness off us, Lord. We need to see what you see. So that verse there, do not fear, little flock, it's out of Luke chapter 12. The verse before it is, I'm going to read it to you in the Passion Translation. Each and every day he will supply your needs as you seek his kingdom passionately, above all else. So, you know, seek first the kingdom. So don't ever be afraid, dearest friends. Your loving Father joyously gives you his kingdom realm with all of its promises. Your loving Father joyously gives you his kingdom realm. You know, Jesus said to the disciples in the upper room, as the Father bestowed a kingdom upon me, I bestow a kingdom upon you. He is giving us the kingdom. It's the Father's good pleasure to give us this kingdom. So we need to see what this kingdom realm is all about. Now, when Jesus came to the waters of baptism at the River Jordan, he entered the waters as a carpenter from Nazareth, and he came out of the waters of baptism as the anointed king. This was his coronation. It's because the Spirit came upon him at the River Jordan. Jesus' baptism was not really a baptism unto repentance because he had nothing to repent of, but it was a baptism unto a new state of being. And when he came out of the water, the Spirit descended upon him, and the voice of the Father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am infinitely, supremely stoked." 21st century paraphrase. In whom I am well pleased. Grant, I am well pleased with you. No, I'm supremely stoked in you, and you are a dear friend. And so this is the Father's heart, isn't it? You know, he's just like boundlessly wanting to pour this out upon us. So the Lord poured his Spirit out. Father poured his Spirit out upon Jesus. There's a passage in Ezekiel. Daniel 7, where Daniel was taken into a vision, and in the vision he said, I saw one like unto the Son of Man coming before the Ancient of Days, and to him was given a kingdom that all the nations of the earth should, you know, serve him and worship him and honor him as king. And his kingdom is an eternal kingdom that will never pass away. And so he's seeing the Son of Man coming before the Father. Now in the spirit, if you could see what was happening at the River Jordan, all you would see would be just Jesus getting baptized, but he comes out of the water and he is anointed king. The kingship really came on him because you see, the kingdom is in the Holy Spirit. And wherever the Holy Spirit is, it's the role and the ministry of the Holy Spirit to confer the reality of God's kingdom realm upon us. And so the Spirit came upon Jesus and he was coronated king. And the Lord says in Psalm 2, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I'll proclaim the decree of the Lord. You are my son. You are my favored son. And as your father, I've crowned you as my king eternal. Psalm 2. And boom, all of that happened at the River Jordan. And so the Father gave the kingdom to Jesus. He said, the Father's conferred the kingdom on me, and it happened when the Spirit came upon him. And of course, when the Spirit came upon the church at Pentecost, that's when the church entered into its coronation glory, because the Spirit came communicating and conferring the kingdom realm upon us as his disciples. And of course, with that came the fullness of kingdom authority. Absolute authority. Jesus said, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. But in another place, he says, I give you all authority. So has he held back any of the authority of his kingdom? No, he's given it to us in fullness. Jesus said to his disciples, there are some of you standing here who will not see, because Judas died. There are some of you standing here that will not see, that will not die before you see the kingdom of God come with power. And Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So we have entered into a coronation as the people of God. We are kings and priests under God, and we've been given this incredible realm of authority that the Father gave to Jesus. So the Father gives it to Jesus, and Jesus says, as the Father conferred a kingdom on me, I confer a kingdom upon you. So there is a transfer, there's an impartation of this kingdom realm to us. Now, it's the Father's kingdom. It always will be the Father's kingdom. In fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says, when this whole thing's said and done, Jesus is going to hand the kingdom back to the Father. So he's been given the kingdom for a purpose and to establish his kingdom on the earth through the church. The church is not the kingdom. Kingdom's not the church. The church is a static reality made up of members who are born again. The kingdom is a dynamic dimension that ebbs, flows, increases, decreases. Sometimes it's not even manifest. Other times it's so powerfully manifest that everyone falls over. And so, you know, it varies. So it's a dynamic reality. But the church is not the kingdom. Kingdom's not the church. But the church is to pray, your kingdom come. And where does the kingdom come? The kingdom comes upon the church. We're a unique portal on the earth. We're the spot where heaven touches down. And so it's our calling to pull heaven to earth, to release heaven on earth. Now that's a mandate, that's a commission, that's an invitation that we will never exhaust. Because in every situation we face in life, even in the smallest detail of our lives or the biggest crises of our life, what's our responsibility? To pull heaven to earth in every situation. So Jesus conferred this kingdom realm upon us. And he said, I'm promising you the kingdom realm that the Father's promised me. We'll celebrate in this kingdom and you'll feast with me at my table. This is the kingdom realm is infinite in what God pours out. There's no limit to the infinite supply of heaven. He will supply all your needs according to the riches of his kingdom glory. And so, when we enter this realm, we're entering the realm of our beautiful, loving Father. And he takes center stage in all of this. Jesus was sent to unveil the Father. Then the Holy Spirit was sent to unveil Jesus and the Father. So the Holy Spirit is at work to unveil Father God to us. And so when his kingdom realm comes upon us, it's the realm of the Father. His kingdom realm comes upon us. And the point I want to make this morning, it does tie in with, was it Yvette who shared before about the orphan thing and how that...
Catherine,
my apologies. Is there an Yvette in the house? Yes, there is. Okay. Oh, you're the first lady who spoke. Catherine got up and spoke about that simple concept of becoming a beloved daughter, how, you know, we're not orphans anymore. And so I want you to see that when this realm comes down, it's the realm of the Father. And Paul, of course, preached the spirit of adoption. Paul was all about the spirit of adoption. God has not given us a spirit of slavery that leads to fear, but he's given us a spirit of adoption as sons, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And Paul really honed in on this theology of adoption. He said in Ephesians 1, verse 5, his unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself, Papa, through Jesus Christ. And this gave him great pleasure. Let's say it gave him infinite pleasure. So we praise God for the wonderful kindness he has poured out on us because we belong to his dearly loved Son. We belong to his beloved Son. We are accepted in the beloved, full acceptance. Colossians 1:13, the Father has delivered us and drawn us to himself, again, to himself, out of the control and the dominion of darkness, and has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. You've been translated into this kingdom realm of the Son of his love, the Father's love. So the kingdom realm is about the Father, about his love, and what it means to be adopted as sons in Jesus. And the essence of this outpouring of the infinite fatherly love of God is that we will not feel like orphans in our hearts anymore. And I think this is the most beautiful message. You know, Jesus said in the upper room in John 14, verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans. That's his job description. Papa sent him. He says, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Spirit of the Lord's upon me. He's anointed me to preach the gospel, but he sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He was sent by the Father with the ministry of, I won't leave you as orphans. I'm going to radically transform you into the fullness of what it means to stand shoulder to shoulder with Jesus, my beloved Son, with the same righteousness as Jesus, the same right standing before the Father, the same status before the Father, the same sense of infinite love and pleasure that Jesus has eternally enjoyed through all eternity past. We get to enter into that. Now that ought to be captivating. That's a captivating vision for our lives. Take me on the journey, Lord. I want to step into the fullness of my sonship. And so it says, and the Passion Translation in Romans 8, you have received the spirit of full acceptance. Absolute, total, pure, 100% acceptance by the Father, enfolding you into the family of God. And here's the kicker. Here's the punchline. And you will never feel orphaned. You will never feel orphaned. For as he rises up within us, our spirits join him in saying the words of tender affection, beloved Father, Abba, beloved Father. For the Holy Spirit makes God's fatherhood real to us as he whispers into our innermost being, you are God's beloved child. See, that's the kingdom realm. The Holy Spirit brings us into touch with the kingdom realm and he whispers, you're the beloved son, you're the beloved daughter of the Father. And his ministry is to bring us into this encounter. And this is all about encounter. You know, you don't stop and look at the sign. The sign is telling you something. It might say, slow down, severe left-hand turn, 15 kilometers an hour. You want to take that one seriously going flat chat on a motorbike. If you don't see that sign, you will go and lose it on that corner. But you don't obsess about the sign. The sign's telling you about something, right? We want to see what the sign's pointing to. And it's the kingdom realm. All the signs, all the theology, everything is pointing to the kingdom realm. And the kingdom is something we receive as an encounter and as an experience of the Father's love being poured out upon us. And so God bestows on us a sense of identity, belonging, purpose, and homecoming. The sense of welcome home, welcome home. You're not going to feel like an orphan anymore. This is a simple gospel truth, but some of the deepest truths are the simplest truths. That's why Paul was devoted to the simplicity of the gospel. You know, just love that message, the simplicity of the gospel message. And let's just luxuriate in that, because that's where the glory is, in that beautiful simplicity. So he comprehensively displaces the old orphan heart and he gives us a brand new heart of beloved son. And this, I believe, is the greatest blessing of entering the kingdom. It's the realm of the Father. And as we enter that realm, if the kingdom of heaven is this realm of the Father, then Satan's kingdom is the realm of the orphan. We have come out of the orphan realm and we've come into the kingdom of his beloved son. So it's the kingdom of the Father. It's the kingdom of the beloved son. See, Satan is the original orphan, right? He just walked out on the whole thing. And not only is he an orphan, but also he is an orphanator. Now, you've heard of the Terminator? Well, he's the orphanator. Whoever he touches feels abandoned. Whoever he touches feels lost and feels like an orphan and feels disconnected. And so he's instilling fear. And that's why, you know, Paul says God hasn't given you this spirit of fear, but a spirit of love. And so, you know, it's, don't be afraid. Don't fear not. It's the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. So Satan's always trying to rob you of that sense of connection with your loving Father in heaven. That's why when the kingdom realm descends upon us, we don't feel like orphans anymore. It's one of the telltale signs of the coming of the kingdom. Your heart opens up because you feel safe in the Father's love, and you just go, ha, I'm going to lean back in the loving arms of a beautiful Father. I'm going to breathe deep and know that He is good. He's a love like no other. He is the loving Father. He's the star attraction. He is the beautiful Father. And it's an unveiling. Life is an unveiling now of the beauty of the Father, the infinite, perfect beauty of perfect love that casts out all fear. And so we've come out of the orphan kingdom and we're coming into the kingdom of the beloved Son. He's delivered us from the orphan kingdom. Let's drink to that. Hallelujah. The Old Testament revealed that the early heroes of the faith were looking for something that they didn't lay hold of. We in the New Testament lay hold of it. Hebrews 11 verse 13, these heroes all died still clinging to their faith, not even receiving all that had been promised them. But they saw beyond the horizon the fulfillment of their promises and gladly embraced it from afar. By faith, ooh, I can see it, but and it's coming. But they didn't get to experience it. They all lived their lives on earth as those who belonged to another realm. Good idea. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. They were looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. Now here's a fun thing. This word, homeland, in Greek is patris. P-A-T-R-I-S. It's the Greek word for homeland, but because it's patris, it's a derivative of the Greek word father. And what it really means is fatherland. And some translations, the Kenneth Woos translation, the Amplified Bible, will actually say they were seeking a fatherland. They were in search of a fatherland, the land of the Father. It's interesting, in Ephesians, Paul says, for this reason I bow my knee to the Father, which is Pater in Greek, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family, Patria, that's family, Patria, in heaven and earth is named. Now, this is really cool. Father, Pater, family, Patria. The very word family is a derivative of the Greek word father. Father, family. Family, father. No family without a father. No father without a family. So this is Greek language, and it comes out in the Greek, but we are now in the fatherland. We've come home. We can call it homeland, or you can call it the homecoming. Jesus talked about this idea of homecoming. It's so beautiful. The Voice Bible, I would commend it to you as one of the many translations that you can draw from. I draw from it frequently. That's the one that says in the beginning, the voice was speaking. The voice was and is God. And so part of the voice, listen to the beauty of this voice in John chapter 14, you know, where Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled, believe in God, believe in also me. He said, my Father's home, which I think is better than house, because a you know, house is not necessarily a home, is it? It takes something more to call it a home than to just say my Father's house. That's too clinical. So the Voice Bible says, in my Father's home, my Father's home is designed to accommodate all of you. If there were not room for everyone, I would have told you that. I'm going to make arrangements for your arrival. I'll be there to greet you personally and welcome you home, where we will be together. Now, a lot of times people think that that is talking about, I'm going to prepare a place for you. It's going to take 2,000 years, but believe me, I'm going to come again and I'm going to receive you to myself so that, and he says, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you might think, oh, I long to be in that place in heaven where you are, Lord. And please come, Lord Jesus, Maranatha, Lord Jesus. But he actually was going to the cross to prepare a place. And then we know that's true because in the prayer of Jesus in John chapter 17, he says, Father, I pray for those who you've given me that they may be with me where I am, that they may behold your glory. So he takes us straight there, right after the resurrection. He took them there. He brought them into the glory of his kingdom, which is the realm of the Father. And by the way, the Moffat translation, 1901, James Moffat, everywhere where James Moffat translates the word kingdom, he decides to put the word realm. So the realm of heaven, the realm of God. Jesus said the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Well, that's in the realm of their Father. And we've been brought into the realm of the Father, which is the Father's home. And Jesus is there to welcome us home. And so this is one giant homecoming to the homeland, Patris, where the Father is, and he's the star of the show, and all hearts, all eyes on him, all eyes on this beautiful Father. And that's what the Holy Spirit is at work to do and to make these things infinitely real to you and I so that we live in the light of the glory of our Father's adoptive love. And his love is a very unique kind of love. It is an adoptive love. He adopts us as sons and daughters. He doesn't just love us, he adopts us in love. The action of his love is adoption. He's got this huge heart of adoption, and there's room in the Father's heart for every human being. And Jesus is ushering us into the Father heart, into an experience of the Father's heart, and into this dimension of adoptive love. So what if the kingdom realm is the realm of adoptive love, delivering us from the realm of the orphan? See, this is kingdom linguistics. I'm playing around and having a little bit of fun with this just purely because sometimes tweaking the language a little bit when it's biblical, not tweaking it into non-biblical language here, but when you tweak the language a little bit, it just kind of throws you off balance and you're like, I hear that. I hear what you're saying. It's a realm. It's the realm of the Father, which is the realm of his adoptive love where we will never feel like orphans again. Now, I've been meditating on this for a number of years. This is kind of ingrained into me. I do love this kind of kingdom theology. And I think this is a season where God wants to put the Father wants to put himself back into the center of what it means to be praying for his kingdom to come. Yeah, we're praying for signs and wonders. Yes, we're praying for a move of God. Yes, we're praying for revival. Yes, we're praying for nationwide awakening. We're praying for the kingdom realm to come. And we think signs and wonders and miracles, and yes, that's part of it. But you know what? Deeper than that, it's about family coming down upon us. It's about a sense of belonging, a sense of identity, a sense of family where we don't feel like orphans anymore. And here's the thing, the power of adoptive love is that you have this new ability to adopt others into your heart. Orphans can't adopt. Orphans need to be adopted. Orphans need to be healed. But God is in the business of sending beloved sons. He sent his original beloved son. Jesus became an orphan on the cross. My father, I'm cut off. I'm forsaken. I became a sin offering. And then again, resurrection, I'm back. And, you know, my father, I'm going to my father. And it's like, oh, you know, and so the orphans now become the sons. He became an orphan so that we could become sons. And so it's all about this adoption unto sonship. And it's so, so beautiful. So I want to say to you this morning, welcome home. Welcome home to the fatherland, the land or the realm of your loving heavenly Father, where the center and the focus of it all is the outpouring of the infinite adoptive love of the Father. To adopt us into his family, to do such a deep work inside of us that we are given a capacity to adopt others. And you see, this love, this adoptive love is an attachment love. It's an attachment love. Rosie told me about a book that I should read, and so I got it straight away because it just got me in with the way she described it. And the book's about attachment love. And I'd been studying attachment theory and how, you know, you can get a bad deal in this life growing up where your parents have got so much brokenness that they don't have a capacity to emotionally connect with you or to attach to you or show you what attachment looks like. And so you go through life bereft of any sense of really any deep kind of connection or attachment, and people can stay in an unattached space. Worse so if you become a Buddhist, which is all about non-attachment. So don't pay out on the Buddhists, but you know, seriously, they're all about non-attachment. I mean, this spirituality we've embraced is all about attachment. It's about a Father who attaches himself to you with such an intense attachment love. And that, you know, the only reason we have any capacity to love is because he first loved us. The only reason we can have attachments on this earth that are deep and powerful and spiritual and in Christ is because he lavished his attachment love upon us. His adoptive love is an attachment love, and it's designed to heal attachment disorders. And believe me, I have suffered so many years from attachment disorders that have, you know, I won't go into the details, but, you know, it has made, you know, that, I'm seeing Monty Python right now, the hand tied behind your back and one leg, sort of, you know, it's all right, I'm fine, you know, but you're kind of going through life, you know, with this disability. And it's like the attaching God sends Jesus into the world. He says, I'm the friend who sticks closer than a brother. And he just does the big octopus thing, right? And he won't let go. He attaches himself. He sticks closer than a brother. You get glued to him. And he's all about, you are my friend. I call you friends. I'm the friend who sticks closer than a brother. Whew, breathe deep and know that he is good. See, the kingdom realm is a family realm. It's family coming down from the original family of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And this is the kicker. Oh, this is so amazing. The eternal family of Father and Son and Holy Spirit, who's in the middle of this Father-Son relationship. You know, just, I get to be in the middle. And, you know, but you know what it takes three to encircle? It takes three to encircle and surround us with his wraparound glory so that he can just bring us into this place of attachment, adoption. Because when I embrace Chris as my sister in the Lord, I adopt her. And Chris, I do adopt you. And I know you adopt me because we've expressed that to each other as a brother and sister in the Lord. You guys from our community up north, we're brothers and sisters. You know, we've adopted each other. See, adoption's not just something you do for 6 months. It doesn't work that way. Adoption is for life. Actually, it's for eternity for us as believers. Because it's like, I'm going to adopt you. I'm going to attach myself to you. I'm going to receive you into my heart, and where you attach yourself to me and I attach myself to you, and we journey through life attached. And by the way, that's what covenant love is. Covenant love is a bond for eternity based on the blood of the new covenant. Like, whoa, getting deep now. I mean, you know, Jesus does more than any friend could ever do. Yes, he sticks to us as a brother, but he goes all the way and he lays his life down for us. No greater love is anyone than to lay down his life for his friends. He does that so that he can bring us into this dimension of adoptive love or attachment love, as a lot of psychologists call it. They call it attachment love and they study human attachments. Isn't that fascinating? There are people out there studying the very thing that some of us are really struggling with, and like we're actually the laboratory rats. We're in their laboratory. I mean, they're doing stats on all the things that kill connection in society, all the things that lead people into addiction, and all addiction is a misguided attachment. You attach yourself to the wrong thing because you aren't able to attach with God or with people, and so that you go through life in an unattached state. If you want to find out more about this, read the four different styles of attachment theory. And, you know, it's all right there. It's all there and available to us. But if you absorb that reality and go, okay, but God's love is an adoptive love where he adopts us for good. And, you know, a lot of Christians miss out on this element of the coming of the kingdom. And they try and do kingdom outside of the context of family. And it's a really big error because it ends up with a distorted view of the kingdom. And so if you're an orphan within because you haven't come into the encounter of the Father's love and the deepening experience of his love, you end up doing ministry as an orphan. And Jesus even addressed this, and this is real scary, and I don't understand how all this works, but there's going to be people who've done these miracles in his name. He's going to say, hey, I actually never knew you. We didn't have a relationship. There was no you know, I will not leave you as orphans. I mean, there was from his end, but from their end, like, they are still stuck in an orphan heart. And oftentimes they latch on to the gifts or, you know, the work of the kingdom as a means of gaining acceptance and a means of performance and performance-based approval. And that's the heart of the orphan. And there are a lot of folks out there who think you can do kingdom outside of family. No, you can't. Not in the fullness of what the kingdom really means, because every sign and wonder, every good work, everything we do in the name of Jesus, right down to a cup of cold water, is designed to say, welcome home. It's meant to be a homecoming. It's meant to be, Jesus said, I'll be there to welcome you. And he wants to put that welcoming heart in you and I, where the work of adoption goes so deep that we can bring others into family. Every now and again, someone will contact us and they're like an itinerant evangelist, and when they want to come and preach in our church, we'd bless their hearts. I mean, they probably carry a great preaching anointing, but we want to know, do they come from a family? Because we want to receive the blessing of the family that they represent, so that when they come, we receive not just them, but we receive the context that surrounds them, which is family. So we get enriched as family because they bring an even greater dimension of family into our family. And so, you know, you can do kingdom, you can do a certain amount of kingdom, you know, as an orphan. But, you know, Jesus, and this is scary, said, I didn't know you. I didn't know you. And I'm not trying to scare anybody here by saying that, but I don't understand that. I don't really understand how all that works, how people can end up doing signs and wonders and not know him. But anyway, it does happen. So, all right, coming into land right now. It's a great discipline to speak within 35 minutes, Chris. Those who know me are clapping. Yeah. All right. Been a few prophecies around that the last great revival that will hit planet Earth and will endure all the way to the second coming of Jesus is going to be a father-centered revival. I believe that. It's not a gift-centered revival like the Pentecostal movement, and I'm a Pentecostal through and through, love the gifts of the Spirit, rampant, radical, charismatic, love the gifts. But it's not just about the gifts. Every demonstration of signs and wonders and every inbreaking of the kingdom at all is meant to point to the Father. And if it's not pointing to the Father, and if it's not integrating the orphans into family, then it actually can be a self-perpetuating orphanage where people stay in the prison of an orphanage where they're not stepping into the fullness of this realm of the Father that comes down upon us and begins to teach us how to attach to Father and to one another in family. And I'm looking for this Father-centered revival that's going to come. I want to be a part of that. I want to be in local church. I want to do church life together with brothers and sisters, so that we can bring the orphans home and bring them into an experience of family, which is a true experience of kingdom. You see, if it doesn't look like family, it's not truly kingdom. We can take that to the bank. If it doesn't look like family, it's not truly kingdom. If we want the kingdom in its fullness, it's got to be the fullness of the glory of the Father. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the realm and the glory and the power coming down, but it's the Father's heart, the Father's realm coming down. So a little bit of a shift today in kingdom linguistics. The kingdom is the realm of the Father. Can I have the worship team come back up? I believe that God is wanting to bring us into alignment with the coming wave of kingdom glory that is coming on the earth. If you are enduring a season of trials and shaking and upheaval and cleansing, don't always rebuke the devil as though it's got to be from the devil. The Lord sends shaking so that only that which cannot be shaken will remain. And we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. We're receiving a realm in the Spirit that cannot be shaken or removed. And so it is a painful thing. If we are walking with God, we will be shaken. You can be guaranteed of that. You will go through trials and adversity, but it's unto freedom, so that we don't stay there, that we actually go, oh, there's something I really need to get free of, and we step in to that freedom. So God's wanting to bring us into an alignment with this coming glory that he's sending upon the earth. There'll be those who observe it, and there'll be those who participate in it. And I want to be a participant. You know, the first words that Jesus ever spoke in the Bible was, I must be about my Father's business. First words recorded, he was 12 years old. Just focused on the Father, focused on the kingdom, focused on the business of his Father. And Jesus is always recruiting kingdom workers. He's always teaching us to pray that God would raise up workers, because the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And so there's a recruiting. You know, with the preaching of the Word of God, it's always a recruiting drive. Always. It's never not, really. It's always recruiting people unto something. We are being recruited in this hour by God to become kingdom ambassadors. And the best way to be the best kingdom ambassador is to carry the heart of the Father. He's raising up workers, but they are a unique kind of worker who is anointed to break that old orphan thing off people's hearts and bring them into a fullness of experiencing the Father's infinite and perfect love. This is such good news. Talk about the gospel of the kingdom, the good news of the coming of the kingdom of God. This is the good news. The realm of the Father is descending. He is descending upon us. He's displacing the old orphan heart with all of its orphan thinking and its old orphan behaviors. And he's awakening in us a brand new heart as we step into a living experience of what it means to be in the Father and in the Son and in the Holy Spirit. With Christ in us, with the beloved Son living inside of us, and he cries within us, Abba Father, and our hearts join him in saying, Abba Father. I just want you to stand with me. Just gently stay really engaged. I want you to close your eyes, engage with what the Holy Spirit is doing in this place. The ultimate sign and wonder is a community of transformed hearts who live in the glory of the Father's adoptive love. That's the ultimate sign and wonder. And accompanying that sign of wonder, there will be signs and wonders. You know, Jesus said something through Isaiah the prophet. He said, I and the children whom you have given me are for signs and wonders. We become the sign and the wonder because of what God can do in the human heart when he breaks that old orphan identity off of us and releases us into this glorious freedom. The glorious liberty of the glorious freedom of the sons and daughters of God. So if you put your hands out before the Lord, I just want you to speak off this old orphan kingdom. I am not a citizen, Lord, of this old orphan kingdom. I'm a citizen of heaven. I'm a citizen of another realm. I'm a citizen of the fatherland. And I've come home to the Father's house. And I feel the welcome. As Jesus puts out the welcome mat and just says, welcome home, welcome home. Welcome home to the Father's home, homecoming, homeland, fatherland. I prophesy this into the core of your being today, that you would be shaken by this message in a good way. It would shake you at the core of your being, and you would feel this new freedom as you step out of that old orphan realm and into the realm of the Father and into the realm of the beloved Son. God is raising up a generation of sons and daughters who carry this homecoming anointing. It's a homecoming anointing. It's a welcome home anointing. Only sons and daughters can carry that. So he says, I'm raising up a generation of people who were once orphans, but they have come under my ministry, Jesus says, where I will not leave you as an orphan. And you have come to the family of God. You have come home to the Father. You have come home to my Father, says the Spirit of Jesus. And I welcome you. I welcome you. I've been longing for you to come all the way home, where there's music and there's dancing and there's celebration and there's a feast. And that feast will roll on forever and ever. So I decree that I'm releasing a homecoming anointing over my church in this hour, because I'm releasing a Father-centered revival in this hour upon the earth. And those who are going to participate in the coming of the kingdom and the outpouring of my Spirit will be those who have said yes to this deep work where I will not leave you as orphans. But he says, I will come to you. I won't leave you as orphans, but I will come to you. I will come and live inside of you and manifest the fullness of my son, my heart of sonship within you. And you will cry to my Father in heaven, Abba, Father, just as I have eternally called him Abba, Papa, Daddy. And I release over you a homecoming anointing. So just as I have said, I will welcome you home, so too you will welcome home the orphans. See the world through the eyes of my Father and recognize that this world is a great, vast orphanage filled with orphans who are lost and who do not know me, says the Lord. But my heart breaks and yearns for every orphan to come home, to my Father's home. I will be there to greet you personally and welcome you home. Today, let's give the Father what he most deeply desires: a family of prodigal sons and daughters who have come all the way home and who are anointed to bring the orphans home to the realm of the Father. This is the vision of the coming of the kingdom. Attached to that are signs and wonders, deliverance, miracles, spectacular demonstrations of heaven's power. But at the heart of it is the realm of the Father breaking in. If it doesn't look like kingdom, if it doesn't look like family, it's not kingdom. It's meant to look like family. And I just decree that over this house, that you will carry that beautiful homecoming anointing. It's so, so sweet. It's so fragrant. You know, people feel it. When you go into a shop, when you pass them in the street, when you interact with them in the workplace, they feel it because it's something you carry. You know, we go into these New Age festivals, and when we put our hands on people, I've even had people say, I feel like I've just come home. Who are you? Who are you people? I feel like I've come home. We didn't put those words in their mouth. They felt it. They felt the homecoming anointing of sons and daughters who've been sent by the Father. And I just decree that over every heart in this place today.